We're Playing Doctor.
Playing Doctor is our weekly Doctor Who podcast where we watch and discuss an episode of the hit BBC series Doctor Who.
Well, that makes sense that we call it Playing Doctor then.
Yeah, because there's other Playing Doctor references on iTunes that isn't us.
Yeah, and PlayingDoctor.com is not us.
Yeah, we're at
PlayingDoctorPodcast.com.
So that's easy to find. But we're Playing Doctors on Twitter.
Yes, which has been creating some confusion for people.
People are thinking the name of the podcast is Playing Doctors, but the podcast is Playing Doctor.
Yeah, because there is only one doctor.
Right, he just has multiple.
Yeah.
Actors.
But technically just one doctor.
Okay.
No more, no less.
Okay. So this week we're flying guest-free while we talk about this week's episode, the seventh episode of the first season, The Long Game.
Yeah. I wasn't able to line anybody up because we're busy. Busy, busy.
Well, you know, things happen. We don't always have a guest on, but I'm sure we'll have more in the future.
Yes. Yes.
Talk to a few people since I know I can't count on you to do it. And
Oh, we're going there now? Is that what the show's going
to
be like?
It could be. There's nobody to impress, so, you know.
Okay.
So let's, I guess since there's nobody to introduce, we'll go ahead and start talking about The Long Game. And I know...
Now, were they playing Monopoly? Is that what this episode's about?
Well, no. Last week, I know Greg had mentioned, you know, the week we did have a guest... Greg had mentioned that, you know, it was kind of confusing, the title of the episode, you know, The Long Game. And The Long Game, I guess, could come from a couple of places, because, like, in finance, it's where you're not looking for the short-term gains, you're playing the long game. You make those long-term investments, so you're playing the long game.
Which would make sense for this episode.
You're going to have some highs and lows, but over the long run, it's going to be the way
the
that
long
you,
game.
The long game.
Okay.
And so, you know, it kind of refers to some of the things going on in this episode, and potentially spoilerific other things going on.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't just... sit there and watch them play Monopoly or Risk or something for 5 hours.
Well, I guess the...
'cause those are long games.
Well, the phrase playing the long game originally comes from the card game Whist, which I've never played.
No, never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's one of those older games, maybe.
I'm sure surprised you haven't heard of it then.
You're being cute this week, that's good. So this story starts out on Satellite 5. So we're on another space station, right? And it's the year
200,000.
Yeah, 200,000. Okay.
Exactly 200,000.
Yes. Because, I mean, you know, why not?
So they got there right in time for the big millennium celebration.
Well, I don't even know what they'd call that.
I mean, don't know.
You know, they've already fixed the clock problem by then.
Because, I would hope
you know,
so,
100,000,
yeah.
The Y100K bug.
Oh, my God!
We've got to go to yet another
Everyone
digit.
Everyone panic.
Yeah. So this is the beginning, you know, this is, or during the fourth great and bountiful human empire.
It's kind of a mouthful. Like, I'm from the fourth great and bountiful human empire.
And that's why, you know, the fourth great and bountiful human empire didn't have too many friends, maybe. Hi, where you're from? Oh, we're from the fourth great Narcan board.
Not even on Facebook? They didn't have, like, just courtesy friends?
No. Huh. No. If you check their MySpace, even Tom wasn't their friend.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
It is. It is. So how'd this kick off? Just with a cold open, right?
Yeah. They just kind of land on this satellite, and the doctor and Rose get out, and the doctor kind of briefs her on where they are and... you know, what's going on, and then Adam steps out, and Rose kind of just rattles off everything that the doctor just said to her, you know, oh, by the sound of it, I think we're on a satellite of some kind, and by the technology, it's the year 200,000. She just...
I don't think that was, though, her doing it, though. The doctor kind of fed her the information to do it.
You think so?
Yeah, it was obvious. He was like, okay, this, and this.
So she can impress this guy?
So she can impress the guy. He was being nice.
Maybe he's getting tired of her, like, oh, doctor, I love you.
She hasn't done that.
Yes, she has.
No, she hasn't.
Maybe I'm just projecting
other
episodes, but...
So she impresses Adam, and they go to the observation deck. They look out the window, and there's Earth.
Yeah, and it's...
with all five of its moons.
Yeah, because I guess we just built some.
Why not?
Well, yeah, why not? Why not? If we can build islands and... whatever, nowadays, why can't we build a freaking moon?
Why not? It's the year 200,000. In the year 200,000.
And then she says, that's not a moon, that's a space station.
Oh, no, that's the wrong movie.
I heard her say it. Go back and watch and tell me if she doesn't say it.
She didn't say it.
The
population of Earth is 96 billion.
That's a lot of damn people.
Yeah, we're just over 7 billion now, and we're kind of running out of room and resources.
People are maybe living on... Are people living on the moon? Does that count as population?
Yeah, maybe they've got... maybe that's why they have five moons.
Citizens of Earth are 96 billion, and then there's people living on Mars, they implied at this point,
right.
So...
Well, Mars is the boondocks.
Yeah.
Kind of.
But, I mean, you would kind of think that they've colonized, so maybe, yeah. Like I said, maybe they count that as...
Well, they talked about Venus also. There were sandstorms on the Venetian plains, so...
Hmm.
So, yeah, the solar system is... It's getting spread out. So now then the doctor takes him back to the landing area, which is kind of like a, I don't know, a plaza type thing.
Yeah.
Which is actually more like a food court.
Yeah, because he starts telling them all about like how they're in this, you know, great and bountiful human empire and everybody's polite and they've got great food and everything's happy, shiny, rainbows and whatever. And then all of a sudden like this bell rings and all these people come out and it's like being in New York.
Right.
You know, there's people pushing and shoving in food carts and whatever. He's like, something's wrong here, you know. But, you know, the kids want to go off and have a good time.
Right.
He's going to go explore, as he always does.
Do some jiggery-pokery and
yeah.
See what he can get into.
Yeah. Jigger a few of the locals, poke you a few of them, maybe.
Yeah.
So
the doctor, I guess you say, robbed an ATM.
Yeah, he just kind of points a sonic screwdriver and then pulls out a, you know, credit chip or whatever these things are called. And, oh, we find out later it's got unlimited credits on it. So basically he's just taken an unlimited amount of money.
Yeah.
From who?
He just pushed a button and basically got the Platinum American Express.
He's a bank robber.
Well, no, this is why the ATM fees are so high now.
Oh.
This is because of the doctor meddling through time. The banks have to make up that shortfall. So banks all over the world charge that extra $1.50, $2, $3 service charge. And it's to cover the doctor coming in to getting some pocket cash.
That son of a bitch. I swear to God, if I ever see him, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind for
the
ATM
fees. Be nice
to
him and he'll hook you up with a unlimited credit card.
Okay, well, if he does that, then I'm not going to complain, honestly.
Yeah. You know, you do some jiggery-pokery on your Visa, and now all of a sudden you've got no limit and no bill.
All right.
That'll work for me.
All right. Yeah.
So he tells him about the culture, and then he robs the ATM, but he compared it to Paris.
Yeah, you kind of have to, like, dive into the culture, just use the wrong verbs, and kiss complete strangers.
Yeah.
Which, it sounds like he does that, or happened to him
maybe
in the past.
Maybe they're talking about the Eighth Doctor when he did, because I can't remember him on the original series kissing too many people, but during his time as the Eighth Doctor, he did kind of fall for that surgeon that was helping him and, you know, kissed her.
Okay.
You know, so maybe that's what they're talking about. I don't know.
Okay.
So, you know, he sends them off, and what do?
They kind of go on this little date, you know, if you want to call it that. And they kind of just try some of the local food, and I thought it was kind of cool that they got a slushy that was, like, beef flavor or something.
Beef-flavored slushy.
Which sounds disgusting, but honestly, I mean, if I was presented with a beef-flavored slushy...
You'd try it.
I would sure as hell try it, because this kind of struck me as a kind of a British thing to do, because they, you know... If you ever get the British potato chips, crisps as they call them,
okay,
the Walker's brand, like they have all these random flavors. You can get like roast beef and roast chicken and shrimp cocktail and pickled onion and all these weird things. And
okay.
You know,
so this is a normal thing. This is like a natural evolution of things.
Yes.
You would have beef slushies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, just put the random flavors in like whatever you can find.
Okay.
So.
And now you were talking about a Kronk burger?
Yeah, they said something about Kronk burgers, and I'm like, what the hell is a Kronk burger? Apparently it was referenced in a Doctor Who comic strip. I wasn't able to find what that was all about, but when I first heard it, I thought that it was, I thought that they had said Kronk burger. I'm like,
go get Kronk on the
yeah.
burger?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, what the, okay.
It's
so
the
I look it up.
Influence.
Yeah, I look it up and it's actually on Urban Dictionary. There is such a thing as a Kronk burger where you go to Wendy's and you buy like a 99-cent burger and you buy a pack of chicken nuggets and you get some ranch dressing and you put the chicken nuggets on the burger with the ranch dressing and eat it.
Well, this is what you eat when you're, you know, you got Kronk
or yeah.
whatever. I don't,
can you sound any more white right now?
I don't know. I'm just, I'm trying. So, you know, Adam has his same moment that
yeah.
Rose had when she was in the year 5
billion
or whatever.
Apple, Delta, whatever it was.
Yeah, Apple plus 27.
I don't know.
Mark 43.
Just make things up. It's what they did.
And I think they have some pattern to their stuff, but
they just make things up.
He's going through the whole thing of everybody's dead,
and she's like, "Shut up! Look."
Now she knows how the doctor feels.
Yeah, yeah, and see, that's the kind of thing that, you know, I noticed that she is kind of playing that, like, I've been doing this for a while. Stick with me, and you'll learn eventually that this is just how space and time travel works. You know,
right.
She's the expert now.
Oh yeah, she's made like what 5-6 trips now. So yeah,
she's the expert. So yeah. So she gives him the phone, and he calls his mom, and he's just like, oh, I'm traveling with some friends, but I'll see you around, whatever. You know, I mean, she probably wasn't really expecting him to call anyway, because he's been in Utah in this bunker on the top secret mission thing for quite some time, I'm sure.
Yeah, working for Van Stanton in the last episode.
Right. But I thought it was funny that he used the same lame excuse that Rose used when she came back to see her mom.
She'd been traveling.
Yeah, been traveling.
Well, see, though, Rose just randomly disappeared one day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Adam had a job in Utah, so, you know, he's kind of...
So at least that's plausible for him.
Right. Now, here's the other thing, though, is that Rose's phone, and this is something that they don't cover in the show, Rose's phone was set so she could call back to her mom in 2005 or 2006.
Yeah.
Adam is from the year 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was calling the house, was he calling the house in 2006 or was he calling the house in 2012?
I would think.
How would the phone know?
That just the way that the doctor does his magical jiggery-pokery, he kind of, like, I guess the phone kind of links in with the TARDIS and it kind of knows where they're coming from, you know? So it's going to kind of say, oh, well, you're from this year, so you're going to call this year.
I think he was calling... This explains, though, why the, we see later, the answering machine looks so old.
Mm-hmm.
Is because it wasn't that old. Mm. He was actually calling back to the year 2006.
Yeah, but in the year 2006, had he really even gone to Utah at this point?
He was probably 14 years old then.
Right, so why wouldn't his mom have that, like,
exactly.
You left the house and you're 14, you come back and you're 21.
Yeah.
What the hell has happened?
Exactly. This is a big hole, I think.
Yeah. I think that...
Maybe he's looked the same since he was 14.
Maybe. Maybe his mom's really dumb.
But you're going to go with the TARDIS fixed it.
Yes, because the TARDIS does... I mean, the TARDIS gets in your head and translates any alien language for you.
Okay.
It knows where you come from, and it knows...
I just didn't think it was connected to the TARDIS like that. I thought that was just some sonic screwdriver jiggery-pokery, and then you move on.
I don't know. I'm sticking with my explanation.
That's fine. That's your thing. But anyway, the doctor now is off on his own and meets up with Suki and Kathika, which sounds like a Battlestar Galactica name.
Yeah, it does.
You know, Kathika.
Kathika.
And it's one of the 12 colonies or something. No, it's Caprica. But anyway, so Kathika and Suki are employees of Station 5, and
the doctor,
I guess,
I like how he just starts asking questions and just, you know, and they just... why are you asking? He's like, I'm just asking. Like, oh, this is a management test, isn't it?
Yeah, they warned us about this in basic training.
You know, psychic paper. Yeah, you got me. I'm management. Like, and this kind of illustrates the biggest flaw in any security system to me. You know, just somebody can, anybody who acts like they know what the hell they're doing can get information from people.
I remember...
Like, there was a story recently that somebody called Apple and pretended to be somebody.
Right.
And he got all this guy's information just because he was able to trick this guy on the phone into thinking that
they
was him. Yeah. So,
now, I've heard stories of guys walking out of Walmart with new televisions.
Wow.
Don't
try this at home, kids.
Yeah, well, I think they've taken precautions since then. But people, you know, the guy would just walk in and act like he knew what he was doing and was doing what he was supposed to and walked right out the front door with a new television and nobody stopped him.
Wow.
And they didn't even realize it until, like, they went back and reviewed the tapes and stuff. And we used to do it in the Navy all the time to go places that we weren't supposed to go to not work. If you have a clipboard, a flashlight, and just, you know, go into some space and start shining along the pipes in the ceiling, people leave you alone.
Mm-hmm.
Write down some things occasionally.
Yeah, because most people, I think, are really, really lazy.
Yeah.
They don't want to get involved, and they're not really paying attention to what exactly is going on. It's like,
it sounds
legit. Let them pass.
Yeah. So he's got these two fooled, and they're just, you know, spilling all kinds of
stuff
because they think he's management. And Kathika's trying to get that promotion.
Oh, yeah. She's, like, all of a sudden just totally an ass-kisser. She's like, oh, hello, Mr. Management.
Yeah, she got a little flirty, too. She's going to get to floor 500 one way or the other.
Oh, yeah. Even if she has to go down a floor first, you know.
Okay.
What?
So when she explained to him that what they do there is that they are the news. They make the news. They write, package, and sell the news.
Yeah.
Which is kind of creepy.
Yeah. But it seems like that should be a flag right there, that they
create the news.
They control the news completely.
See, I think this is almost like a social commentary on how influential the news is to us.
Right.
And where you get your news from will influence your decisions and your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this was 2005, so, you know, things were a lot more political back then.
Not more like than, how, yeah, more than like now during political election season. Okay.
Yeah. But nice little mention of our friend Face of Bo.
Right. He's, Bo was having a baby.
Yeah, Bomina.
Now, I was not really clear on this because I just saw the flash of TV up there for a second and mm-hmm. it was, is he having the baby?
Or is he expecting baby Bomina?
And either way, how does this happen?
How does he get something pregnant, or how does
either way.
You know, looking at his big nodules, his dreadlocks or whatever he's got going on, it looked like these balls at the end of each one.
Oh, that would explain it?
And I think those, pop off as, his offspring.
Okay.
He, spawns them off.
So he's just his asexual spores that come off of him.
Could be.
Yeah, so I don't know if somebody, climbed into the tank or something, and or maybe, he had some tentacles that came out like a hentai sort of thing. Or...
So we're going to the whole Japanese porn theory of reproduction for Bo, is maybe. What you think. No, I think it's the asexual spawning.
Yeah, that's probably worked.
You'll see later, better pictures of his balls that they just kind of dangle there and look like they could pop off.
Mm. I'm interested to see his balls.
Okay, yes. Bo's balls.
Bo's balls?
Bo's balls. I don't know. But, and then, you know, spoilers for later, we get more theories on the face of Bo.
Yes.
Makes that even more interesting to talk about Bo's balls.
That's what I was talking about.
See, I'm gonna bring that up when those episodes mm-hmm. come up.
Good, I hope you do.
I will. So now the doctor is looking around for Adam and Rose,
mm-hmm.
and he yells out for Mutt and Jeff to come on.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't know who Mutt and Jeff were.
No. No, I never heard that. I didn't even understand what he said, so.
No. It was a reference to an old newspaper comic strip duo.
Okay.
It was back in, the 1920s, 1915s, way back.
And you would be the person to know this.
Well, no, I'm a cartoonist, so
I know.
I know, not just because it's old. I get all your little old jokes.
No, this was an old slash cartoonist joke.
Okay.
It was a 2-for-1 special.
Oh, okay. So, you know, as long as you get to be happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, Kathika takes them to the spike room.
Yes, which is it's very bizarre. She gets in the middle of this room and...
this barber chair looking thing.
Yes, and kind of leans back, and then everybody sits around her in a circle, and she snaps her fingers, and this lightning bolt comes down, and,
It's more like a light beam, a tendril of light.
Okay, let's just...
Okay.
Some light comes down out of the sky, magically.
Right.
And it's putting information to her head.
Right.
Basically, is using her brain as a processor.
And then all the ones around her are, filtering that somehow?
Right.
Okay.
Which I think is really cool. I mean, I always thought that, it would be kind of cool to use your brain as a processor.
Right, so they all have, the chip somehow, but she has this thing that when she snaps her fingers...
Yeah, she's got, a hole in her head, a metal...
Little doors open up.
Yeah, and you can see right into her brain.
Yeah.
Which at first, Adam kind of seemed to think it was creepy, but then he was like, no, this technology is really, really cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because this is the most advanced thing he's ever seen, but then the doctor is like, no, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. This is outdated technology.
Yeah. They should be past this.
Yes, I mean, basically it's... we're still using telegraph or something.
Right.
It's like that old to them.
It'd be like using a fax machine in the year 2012.
Which people still do.
Which, yeah. We had that conversation today and that insane that we still have to use fax machines.
Fax machines are not 90 years old, though.
Right.
And that's how old this technology is. It's a good 90 years.
Good 90 years out.
So,
So their whole thing, though, is that they process the news so that it's factual, without bias. You know, that's the law.
Yes.
That's company policy. And so, you know, after, like you said, Adam's pretty good with this.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of getting into the whole groove of the technology thing, going, mm-hmm. wow, okay, this is really advanced stuff here.
But you can already kind of see the gears turning in his head at this point, I think.
But see, now, though... we meet another player in the game.
Yeah, they cut to another scene with, who we eventually find out is the editor, but it's Simon Pegg.
Who plays Sean from Shaun of the Dead.
And, oh, is that who it is?
And Gotti from Space Movie 2009.
Oh, I knew I recognized him from somewhere.
I'm just, for people who didn't.
Okay.
Hot Fuzz, or Fuzz Brothers, or what was it?
Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz.
Paul, Spaced.
Yeah, well, Spaced is, you know, where I would know him from more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Spaced is why he got on this episode.
Probably.
He's kind of a geek, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, the whole movie Paul was kind of his idea to do this movie about the alien coming down from outer spaces. Mm-hmm. You know.
But now, originally, when he was cast to be on Doctor Who, because he wanted to be on Doctor Who for a while, mm-hmm. he was originally chosen to be in the next episode.
Oh, to be Rose's father.
To be Rose's dad.
Tyler Perry.
No.
Steve Tyler.
No. It was Pete Tyler.
Oh, Pete Tyler. Pete not Tyler. Steve Tyler.
No. But, you know, with her musical background, you know, she could have been one of the lost Tyler children.
That would explain the weird-looking mouth thing that she has going on.
Yeah, that
on.
Really didn't have... Yeah, I don't get the mouth thing until later when she loses weight. But either way. So he had a filming conflict and ended up being on this episode.
Mm-hmm. Now, so, was this possibly a conflict with Spaced? Because I don't even know when that came out.
No. Spaced was over when this came out.
Okay.
And he had maybe... It was something else he was filming, possibly okay. Sean. I don't remember when Sean came out.
I don't remember either.
But either way,
it's kind of cool that we saw his mom in a couple episodes ago.
Right, from Shaun of the Dead. Mm-hmm.
Harry Jones, Fly Del North.
That's my line, thank you.
Well, I didn't want you to screw it up again.
Thank you. So now the editor though is picking that something's gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's sensing something's wrong. He's looking at the picture and he's trying to focus in. It's leading us as the viewer to think, oh, he's caught under the Doctor and the Companions, so...
Something's wrong. Let's do a security check.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think it's going to be them, but no, he senses, or he finds something wrong with this Sookie girl.
Right.
She's really a fairy, and she can
no,
shoot lightning
wrong,
beams.
No.
I gotta stop doing that.
Yeah, get off your True Blood fetish, okay?
Sookie!
It's not Sookie. This Sookie... is Sookie now.
It's not Snooki either.
No, it's not Snooki either. But she's, something's off with her background check, mm-hmm. I guess. So to get her up to him, big alarm goes off or whatever.
It kind of gives her a little shocker.
Yeah, a little shock to disengage the whole, you know, downstream thing,
mm-hmm.
which kind of pisses Kathika off.
Yeah.
But there's a big announcement that, you know, oh, there's a promotion.
Kathika's like, oh, it's going to be me.
And she's been working on this for 3 years. She's going to get that promotion. No, it's new girl, Sookie.
Sookie
gets the promotion, which kind of ticks Kathika off. Yeah. Sookie's all excited and happy.
Yeah, Kathika's pissed because she's been kissing ass for 3 years and she still hasn't got the job. So.
Right, and now she's going to go up to floor 500.
Where the walls are covered with gold. No one ever comes back because it's so magical and wonderful up there that no one ever wants to come
back. Nobody ever wants to come back down. Okay, so nobody comes back from floor 500. But I would think, you know, once you get promoted, mm-hmm. everybody stays on their level. They don't, you know, you...
But you never come back to visit your old friends in the lower floors, have a drink, slushy with them?
No. I mean, that's because when they're talking to Kathika on the promenade or whatever it was, they were talking like she's only been to like level 16 for medical in processing and then level 139 or 136 or whatever they're on mm-hmm. in this one.
Yeah, it's kind of suspicious, but I mean, we haven't been bred for 90 years to be brainwashed by the media.
End
or have
not.
We?
Oh, thank you, Ron Paul, and now back to Doctor Who.
What? No, that's
political
mumbo-jumbo. That's just my regular paranoia. That's not anything to do with my political leanings.
So anyway, though, Sookie gets up to floor 500, because you have to get, I guess, a special key code or whatever.
Because, I mean, obviously, if this is the magical land of floor 500, they're not just going to let anybody up there.
Right, it's like getting the keys to the executive washroom.
Yes.
And they have gold toilets and stuff.
But something is obviously wrong as soon as she steps into the elevator. She was really excited when she was out in the, you know, the big hallway or whatever with Kathika and the doctor and everybody.
Right.
But in the elevator, she's all of a sudden really nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out that she knows that something's up. And
right.
That's why, you know, they've called her up there.
Okay. But when she gets up there, it looks like the place is under construction.
Oh, yeah.
Or had been.
Yeah, there's like plastic sheeting all over the place. And it's just, like, I think it's snowing up there or something.
Well, no, it's so cold. I guess it's frosting somehow. But it looks... No, it's not asbestos. They got rid of that back in the 1990s.
No, they didn't. Because there's some right upstairs I can show you.
Okay. So she finds her way into the control room where she meets the editor, our good friend mm-hmm. Simon Pegg, and he's on to her game.
Yeah.
He's all excited to break this news to her that, no, you're not because, you know, here's your biography, But then hidden under that is your real biography. Yeah.
And apparently she had a genetic graft. And I don't know exactly what that does because she looked exactly the same. So is it just...
I think her DNA gets masked somehow, so it throws off...
Okay.
You would think they would use DNA identifying stuff instead of fingerprints and, you know, that'd be part of it. So So maybe that causes her DNA to show up differently on
maybe
blood tests or something.
Which is pretty clever.
But he finds out her real identity is that she's part of the Freedom 15.
Yeah, she's a terrorist. Basically.
Terrorist and anarchist.
Yeah, same thing.
For the Freedom Foundation. And they're one of the advertisers on The Hannity Show and Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, are they?
Well, yeah. I hear about the Freedom Foundation, or is that the Heritage?
I don't know.
Foundation sounds like
Same
one
thing.
Of those
yeah.
groups that, you know...
Donate to the Freedom Foundation today. Support America.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So her name is actually Eva St. Julianne.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's been monitoring, or her group was, like, monitoring transmissions from Satellite 5.
Yeah. So they know something's been going on. She's basically a mole in this
right.
satellite.
And she knows that the news has been altered.
Mm-hmm.
Little subtle things have been, you know, kind of planted over the years to kind of...
They're trying to push society in a certain direction. Like,
right.
just little things here and there, like, you know, the downfall of this economy or this country or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to try to edge people into thinking certain things and...
So, Fox News and MSNBC combined.
Now who's getting political?
Well, Fox News and MSNBC. I took
okay.
one from each.
Okay.
But mainly Fox News. Because MSNBC doesn't control the media
mm-hmm.
around the world.
And Fox News does. Okay.
Well, Rupert Murdoch does.
Anyways.
Who's Australian?
Anyways.
You know who else is Australian?
The crocodile hunter?
Hitler.
No, he's not.
Well, he's Austrian. Austrian.
No.
Hitler was Austrian.
No.
Yeah, he was.
He was South African.
No. So you need to go back to school.
Is that where they have the maps and like...
And such.
Where I can learn about the Iraqs and stuff?
The Iraqs.
Anyways.
So anyway, she's wanting to, you know, she pulls out the gun.
Who's in charge? Oh, yeah. Your boss. The same person who's been your boss since you were born. And there's, she looks up and you don't even get to see this thing yet.
Yeah. It's just something that makes her scream. And there's growling and roaring.
Yeah.
And,
meanwhile, the doctor and Rose and Adam, they're going to keep looking into things. But Adam's like, I think I need some time alone to get acquainted with this new society.
Yeah, he's not an old hand with this like Rose is with
yeah.
her six trips.
Maybe you should go off with the doctor and investigate, and I'm just going to kind of chill out over here. And I can't get between you two anyway.
Yeah, it's
going
to take How is that? It's going to take a better man than me to get between you two.
Yeah.
yeah.
So...
And Rose, she gives him a TARDIS key.
Yeah, and I was like, you fucking stupid bitch. Seriously, it takes how many episodes for her to get the key, and he's gone on all these adventures with her,
mm-hmm.
and...
There's some trust being built.
There is some trust, but she...
They just met this guy yesterday.
They just met this guy, and she's going to give him the key.
Uh-huh.
It's not even her key to give out.
Yeah.
What the hell? Oh, it just pissed me off.
Adam goes off to acclimatize himself, and...
Yeah, so first thing he does is he goes to a little computer terminal and says, how about you give me the history of the microprocessor since the 21st century?
He starts
bleeping
out all that information.
Yeah. The next thing you know, well, he calls his mom back again. He starts reading off some of the information, then the computer cuts him off.
You know,
go to medical. And he goes to medical and, pretends he's a student from Mars.
Yeah. Now, this is where we meet the nurse
yeah.
that was in docking him. And once again, she had a small role in Shaun of the Dead as well.
Mm-hmm.
When Shaun's group meets up with the other ladies' group.
Yeah.
It was almost like a mirror image
yes.
of Shaun's group.
That was like the typical zombie hero team. Like all the people that knew what they were doing and had a plan. And
right.
they're meeting the idiots, like the common person, you know.
Right. But
Let's
Shaun's team is the idiots.
Yeah.
She was one of the, her name is Tamsin Grieg, or Greg, Grieg, I guess.
I don't know.
G-R-E-I-G.
That's a Grieg.
Grieg. And she plays the nurse. And so now we've got Simon Pegg, his mom, you know, Shaun, his mom, and now this lady.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to meet the leader of the group later in Doctor Who.
Oh, yes.
That's
yeah,
be
I almost
good
forgot about that
yeah.
one.
So is there just a shortage of actors?
Well, I have noticed in a lot of the BBC shows, there's, you know, if you watch enough of the shows, you
mm-hmm.
get all these, like, cross-pollination between shows.
Okay.
Like, on Law and Order UK, at one point, Peter Davison and, oh, I can't remember her name, the girl who played Martha Jones.
All right, which we don't know about yet.
Okay, but, yeah.
But a future companion.
The girl who plays Martha Jones are both on there at the same time, and they both work at the, like, the DA's office or whatever they call it there, and I haven't watched it in a while, so I can forget what they exactly call it, but she's basically his assistant, so it's kind of weird that there's the doctor and the companion have now become, like, the lawyer and the paralegal or whatever her exact role is, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I still, you know, it's just weird that there's always just such a, you know, I know certain shows in the U.S., you get that crossover, but it just seems like it's way more apparent.
Yes.
In some of the BBC shows.
Yes.
So, you know, he's lying and saying that, you know, he's a student from Mars.
Yeah, because that's the only way he has to get the chip to put in his head so that he can
interface with the computer.
Right. Well, she talks him into getting the full hole in the head
spike access point.
Yeah.
But that's going to be like 10,000 credits.
Oh, I don't have enough for that.
And no, she's all happy because she ran his credit on that chip.
And I noticed that as soon as she ran the credit on his chip, she noticed that, or I noticed that she was a little flirty with him. Like, where she was a little standoffish at the beginning, like, oh, you're a student, aren't you?
Yeah, students don't have any money.
And then he shows off his American Express Unlimited credit card, and she's like, oh, would you like the full service?
That's the sales girl at any shop that you go to, though.
Yeah.
That once they find out you've got money, they're going to try to sell you the store.
I'm just saying, there was a definite shift in her personality.
She's making the company money.
Yeah.
She's going for the sale. So he gets his little head window set in. And I guess the default setting is
Snap
your fingers, the head opens.
Snap.
So Kathika still has hers on default.
Yes.
She hasn't personalized it yet.
But you can set it to anything that you want.
Anything.
And so I was trying to think, like, if I had one of those.
Now, was it one guy had Danny Boy?
Yes. Like, you could sing Danny Boy, you could whistle.
Yeah.
If I had one of those, what would I set it to? Would I want it to just snap? Would I, like,
well,
I don't
how
know.
Often do you snap your fingers?
I don't know. I say, oh, snap a lot.
Well, see, then
so, like, 10 times a day.
Then you shouldn't have the...
I know. Because then people would be seeing my brain and stuff. That would just be disgusting.
Exactly.
I don't know.
They have to look in and try to find, you know.
Is this a tiny woman brain joke?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
No, I would do the song that never ends.
So it would never actually open your brain? Because you'd have to keep singing forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, just the first few notes. Hmm. Maybe sing it. This is the song that never ends. It goes on and on, my friends. And then it opens up.
I think mine would have to be the Beatles song, Fixing a Hole.
No, because you listen to the Beatles all the
freaking time. No, but I would have to sing it myself because the lyrics fit.
Okay. So this kind of makes him sick the first time he does it, and he throws up.
Yeah, because you look at your own brain, it kind of throws you off a little bit.
Yeah. So he throws up, but he doesn't just puke all out.
He vomits out an ice cube.
Yeah. I did some looking up on that, and it's kiwi and orange.
I was wondering. I thought I saw some kiwi seeds in there.
Yes.
But, I would actually get that installed if I could.
That was the nanotermites in the back of his throat.
I mean, that sounds disgusting, but honestly, if you could just throw up and it's just an ice cube and you just spit it out.
Spit out an ice cube.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I'd live with termites in my throat for that. But I thought it was kind of funny, like, she looked at it and then she's like, oh, you vomit out ice cubes. But then she kind of does this double take and looks back at it, and I was like, why would she, if she's
maybe she's wondering, what the hell did you eat?
Yeah. Did she have a beef slushy today? But, you know, she did kind of look at it like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. So the doctor's starting to pick up, though, you know, back to him and Rose. But he's picking up that, yeah, stuff's not right. And he's like, you know, the human race is pretty much set back 90 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which we find out is exactly how long, almost. 91 years is how long Station 5 has been on the air.
Yep.
Huh.
Interesting coincidence.
Wow. So, you know, there's no aliens.
Yeah, and so he asked Kathika, why aren't the aliens around? Oh, well, you know, the stuff has increased in price and the government's collapsed and, you know, just repeating propaganda that she's heard on the news.
Right.
You know, this is how they've been programmed to think. It's like,
so
oh.
It's like, okay, well, you know, yeah, you don't see any aliens because we've tightened down on immigration.
Oh, yeah. We had to because of all the things that happened. Just things.
Things. You know, that's what they said. Who's they? Well, you know, them.
The Iraqs and stuff.
The Iraqs and stuff. Now you're getting political again.
No, I'm just
funny dumb.
I'm just making fun of Miss South Carolina.
Oh, poor girl. No one remembers that. So, now the doctor, though, to get more information, breaks into the mainframe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Kathika's like all...
getting chilly.
Yeah.
Rose is like, why is it so hot? I don't know. Something to do with the turbines.
And the doctor, you know, again, scolds her for...
You humans are so stupid these days. Well, no, back in my day. Get off my lawn.
Well, no, he's scolding her, though, because she's a journalist.
Yeah. Well, she kind of is, but really her brain is just a processor. She's a Pentium chip
for the satellite. Well, they're supposed to be journalists, though, and journalists ask questions, and she's not asking questions.
Well, that's not how they were trained to report the news.
But Rose is asking the right questions.
Ha, ha. I'm asking the right questions.
Well, you don't like Rose.
No, I don't like Rose because I think that she asked the right question by accident. But she gets all smug about it when the doctor gives her cool points.
All
right, see, fine. I asked the right question because I'm just complaining that it's hot in here.
So anyway, something on floor 500 is like stupid hot.
Yeah.
And so all the cooling of the entire station is going towards cooling floor 500. Which explains why it looked like it was snowing when Snooki got on.
Yes.
Off the elevator.
And meanwhile, the turbines are actually pushing all the heat.
Pushing the heat
from
down.
From floor 500 downwards, and that's what's making it so hot.
Right. And so he hacks the computer with his sonic screwdriver and jiggery pokery. And gets...
Don't wear that out, though.
I am.
You have to spread it out.
Spread it. Well, if you're going to do any jiggery-pokery, it has to be.
Yeah.
But, so he's...
Just take it slow.
Goes to...
Floor 500.
They get on the elevator, and off they go.
And then Rose and the doctor make out.
No.
They hit the button.
No.
And they make out.
No. They get to floor 500, get off the elevator, and it's the same construction zone that we found when Sookie came up.
Yeah, and then the doctor says, you should probably go downstairs. And she's like, okay. And then she gets on her knees and... Don't look at me like that. That's what happened.
That is not what happened.
I'm just telling what happened on the show as I saw it.
Well, you're watching a different Doctor Who.
Probably.
They go up and they find the editor.
Mm-hmm.
And they find all the workers that have been promoted over the time, all sitting there zombied out at the workstations in front of the editor.
And Rose says, Sookie!
She does not say Sookie. Well, she says Sookie.
Yeah, she does.
Not like that.
It's okay.
Because they're mostly dead. They're just, the chips in their heads are...
They're making them just like puppets.
Yeah, they're just processors, like you were saying.
Yeah. I kind of got the sense that they still had a little bit of self-control. I'm not really sure, though.
I think over time.
Like, over time, they just lost it all completely?
Yeah, the longer you're there, the more dead you are.
Okay, because it seemed like Sookie was... She just had a little bit left, but I'm not really sure if
she's fresh meat.
Interpreting the whole thing wrong.
I think, she's still fresh.
And she's... Obviously, if she's able to see through what was going on, and she's able to pick up on these little
cues... Yeah, she's not as dumb as the rest of
them. Right. So she's not as susceptible to mind control. Control as everybody else is.
Right. So the doctor and Rose get captured. And we find out that this is not the fourth great and bountiful human empire.
It's just a place where humans are allowed to live.
Yes, because something above them are correcting them, because then we're introduced to the alien that's in charge.
The editor-in-chief.
Yes, the big slimy boss that's...
Lumpy space princess.
Yeah, with teeth.
I'm a glob.
Do you want to try the name? It's the Jaggerfess.
Yeah, Mighty Jaggerfess of the Holy Hadrodressic Maxodenophilus.
See?
I was close.
This is the first name that I've ever had with Doctor Who that you can't just say outright.
Mighty Jaggerfess of the Holy Hadrodressic... It would be easier if the microphone wasn't in my way, too. Okay, Mighty Jaggerfess of the Holy Hadrodressic Maxodenophilus. I was trying to say it too fast, too.
Yeah, well, he calls it Max.
Yeah, he calls it Max.
And to be fair, though, when Simon Pegg had to say it, and he had trouble saying it, just like you had trouble saying it, and I'm not even attempting it, I'll call it Jaggerfess or Max. They had the Jaggerfess roar halfway through him saying his name.
Because he messed it up, too.
Right, so it covered up him trying to say it.
We've done enough takes, we're not going to do this anymore.
Running out of film. So this thing's been manipulating the human race with information for the last 90 years. And it's kept some kind of, like, you know, the whole propaganda thing and the climate of fear. And that's kept the borders closed. You make an enemy. You can cause people to vote differently with the news.
Yes. And so Catholica gets the code and she's going up to floor 500, but... She still kind of seems to be determined to get a promotion.
Yeah.
Even the fishy things are going on. So she gets in the elevator and she's going up after them. And the editor, Simon Pegg, is trying to engage in a philosophical debate with the doctor.
Right.
Because he's talking about how, like, they've enslaved the whole human race. or the doctor was saying that they've enslaved the whole human race by manipulating them.
Right.
And the editor says, yeah, but are they slaves if they don't know that they're slaves?
Yes.
The doctor just says, yes. That's it. I was hoping for a philosophical debate.
No.
Just yes.
That's all you get.
Yeah.
So the doctor, though, while they're having this, you know, discussion, he's kind of pumping him for information.
Mm-hmm.
To get what he, you know, can. And we find out that this whole thing is funded by a consortium of banks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so if they find out that somebody starts having too many truthy thoughts, they can pull it because everybody's got the chip in their head.
Mm-hmm. Now, just everybody on the satellite, basically.
But I don't know.
Everyone have the chip.
I think everybody on the satellite obviously has it, but I think anybody who's going to interact with a computer.
Hmm. See, I thought it was just anybody who was on the satellite had the chip. Because, right. Like, obviously, you know, the students who come in from University of Mars don't have the chips yet.
Right.
So, because this is a normal thing. And then when Kathaka came up to the satellite, she said she had to go to floor 16 for medical.
To get the
brain hole. But you would think that she probably got the chip when she went up there, mm-hmm. You know?
Okay.
So I think this is just something that the journalists have.
Anytime the journalists, though, get a little too close to the truth, they get promoted
mm-hmm.
and go to floor 500 and get to be zombie reporters.
Yes. And the doctor has now seen Kathaka, who's reached the top floor. And sees the reflection of her in the mirror, and so he kind of stalls, and he keeps pumping the editor for information, which is kind of cool, because it's getting her to see it for herself.
Right.
You know, rather, because she's probably not going to believe him if she's just told this is what it is, but she's starting to put things together for herself.
Right. We find out that the Jaggerfest is, like, stupid old.
Yeah, he's got, like, a 3,000-year lifespan, so he's got this high metabolism. And that's what's creating all the heat.
So the heat gets pumped down, and all the coolers get maxed out on floor 500.
So he's a
you got to keep it cold.
Fat old slob.
Right now, while they're getting interrogated, Adam is prowling around to the spike room. He's going to use his new head hole.
Mm-hmm.
I need that. Like I need another hole in my head. So he calls his mom's answer machine again,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to record this.
Yes.
Because he's figuring he'll record it on the answering machine, go back home,
mm-hmm.
and translate it later using his brain hole.
Yes.
Which, okay.
So he just starts downloading all this information, but he says, oh, this is just going to be white noise later, but I'll translate it for you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is it going to be white noise?
So the link into the brain is a two-way thing. I'm just ignoring it.
Fine.
It's a two-way thing, and... So that's going to let him, pass all this information to his answering machine, which is scaring the heck out of his mom's dog.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also letting the editor pick his brain.
Right, so he's
finding out. And now he knows that, you're everything. A Time Lord, and you've got a TARDIS, and you're mm-hmm. duh. So the doctor's not going to, let him in the TARDIS.
Yeah, he's not going down without a fight.
Oh, you don't need to let me in, because he's got a key.
Of course he does.
Aww.
You and your boyfriends, Rose. Gosh.
So, he's all upset now because, he starts yelling about how they've bred a race of slaves that don't ask questions, and this finally breaks through to Kathaka enough.
Finally. So she goes and she finds a spike room on floor 500, which
really
kind of bothered me that, it was creepy for one thing because there's dead bodies all over the place. There's zombie, corpses.
Where they just sat there until they died, processing information.
But my thing is, I don't understand why they would have had one of those rooms up there to begin with, because this is basically built for the editor-in-chief, the Jaggerfest.
I don't think it was built like that originally. I think it was built, and then the Jaggerfest came in.
And they took over the whole processing of the news and everything. See, I kind of got the impression that the Jaggerfest and the banks and the Iraqs and stuff... No, not the Iraqs. Never mind. That they built it, and it was kind of their thing all along.
Right. No, I think it was kind of built for the purpose of being a news station, but then the Jaggerfest kind of manipulated things his way with it.
Okay.
But then Kathaka gets in the spike chair and starts overriding the security.
Yeah, and she can take over the security from whatever Adam is getting from that room. So she basically shuts down floor 139 or whatever it is. And she's also shutting down the turbines in the satellite, or she's redirecting the turbines to push the heat back up.
Oh, so now it's going to start getting hot on floor 500. Yeah. So stuff starts melting.
Yeah. And my thing is, too, though, that can just anybody get, with the hole in the head, get override security.
Possibly.
Because I'm thinking that, like, this is a giant security hole, but on the other hand...
I think it's a location thing. This is the main one. Okay. This is floor 500. You couldn't do this from floor 1360 or, you know, 316 or whatever. You have to be...
Okay.
It's like one of those, you know, I can log into this computer, but I can't get the same information on that computer.
Okay. See, that makes sense, because I was thinking, like, you know, maybe they just never expected the humans to even fight back at all.
No, I mean, I figure that they could have secured it better, but like you're saying, they don't, the human race is a bunch of sheep now.
Right.
So they're not expecting them to get this far. And you have to have the code to get on the elevator thing, so there's, you know, there's the code.
Yeah.
You can't just jiggery-pokery and up the elevator. That'd never happen. I'm going to overuse the hell out of it.
Stop. Yeah. It's my favorite phrase. Okay, so Suki, whatever the hell her name is at this point. Suki. So she's supposed to shut Kathika's spike thing down, but Kathika fights back and says, oh, no, you don't. I should have been promoted years ago. So even still now, at this point, knowing what the hell is going on, she's still pissed off and
bitter about
not getting promoted.
Yeah, she worked hard.
The promotion.
I should have been a dead zombie bitch years ago.
You had to completely do the opposite of what she was doing
to get
a promotion.
Right.
So she was working hard not to get a promotion. She just didn't know it. Now she realizes it, but she's still pissed off.
Right. So she keeps it going.
Yeah, and this is when I wasn't sure, one of the first times I wasn't sure if
Suki was
not really trying that hard.
Right.
Because it seems like she probably could have, you know, being a puppet of the Jaggerfest thing, could have overridden the, you know, security or whatever.
Late.
Yeah, it's too late anyway.
Stuff's melting and, you know, the stuff's exploding or whatever. Somehow Rose's arm gets loose, and so she's breaking free and has to get the doctor's sonic screwdriver out of his pocket and sonic them. Just push the button.
Just reach to my pocket. It's in there. Reach deeper.
Yeah, well, so they get freed and, you know, take off. Now, the editor, you know, he resigns, which I thought was kind of...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sorry, boss. I gotta leave. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I get paid, but don't get paid like that.
And then Suki grabs him. And again, I'm thinking that she kind of did it. But see,
she's not all the way dead yet.
But see, I could also see this as being like the Jaggerfest telling her, grab him. So if I'm going down, he's going with us.
Oh, okay. So I didn't think the Jaggerfest had like a direct link to them. I thought the link was more to the editor. And the
I thought she grabbed Rose at some point, too. So, I mean, she's... It seems like there's sometimes that she's being controlled.
Right, but I thought that'd be more the editor doing it.
I don't know.
So either way.
I don't know.
They're all dead now because the Jaggerfest blows all to heck. Just...
Yeah.
Explodifies.
Slime.
Just explodes all over the place.
Mmm.
Yeah. And now everything's screwed up on floor 500, right?
Yeah. Chaos ensues.
Chaos ensues. Now we're back down to the food court.
Doctor's like, I ain't helping you guys clean up. This is not part of my job.
Right. That's not what he does. He fixes the big problem, and it's up to you to do the cleanup.
Which, I can see his point of view.
Hey, I've overthrew your government. Good luck building a new one. Bye.
Yeah. But he probably should help a little bit. I'm just saying.
Point him in the right direction.
Like, if you go to somebody's house and they have a big party and the place gets trashed, you help clean up a little bit if you can.
Yeah, well.
It's just polite.
Well, he's got something to do anyway.
Yeah.
So he takes Adam home, back to his mom's house,
and
is pissed.
Yeah, and the answering machine that he left all these messages on, I'm looking at it and I'm like, whether it's 2005 or 2012... Who has that kind of answering machine anymore?
Somebody's mom.
Okay, that's a point. That's a very good point. Because my grandmother probably has the same
answering
machine that she's had since I was a little kid.
The cartridges?
Yes, I'm sure it does.
So, yeah, he blows it up and says, oh, you could have tampered and destroyed the whole human race with future knowledge.
Yeah.
Stepping on
He's
butterflies.
Like, I wasn't really trying to hurt anything.
Yeah, he just wanted to advance technology and be rich.
Yeah.
Be the next Van Stanton.
And honestly, I have to say, if I was in his position, if I had access to the entire history of the human race...
From 200,000 years in the future.
200,000 years. I would be very tempted to at least check it out and see if I could get some type of advantage. I'm not even lying. I would try to
time travel then.
But I wouldn't try to download the entire history of the human race. I would say,
the next 50 years.
Let me see if I can just get something right here. Just one little thing that will give me a boost.
You don't get to ride in my TARDIS.
You would do it too.
And see, originally... No, I'd go to the past and do it. originally, compound interest. You go back, you make a deposit of, like, you know, $5.
Oh, it's the same damn thing.
No. I'm not altering the future, though.
Hmm.
I'm just putting stuff in the past that I can collect.
Yeah, but future can be rewritten if you go back to the past.
Oh, how about I go buy some Van Gogh paintings and stick them in a box somewhere I know will be safe for the next 100 years and then pick them out later.
Hmm.
Look what I found.
Yeah, that's not altering the past, future, anything.
No, because now I'm back to the present doing it. So anyway, though, in the original script, or the original story that was presented, Adam was more likable, I think, because his dad was sick, and he was downloading medical knowledge. And now, does that make it better? He's not as smarmy, trying to rip off the future?
He was smarmy anyway. He was smarmy pretty much from the first scene.
Wouldn't that be, though, you know, more of a motivator?
Yeah, and I can see him definitely being a more sympathetic character.
You get the cure for Alzheimer's. Or you get the cure for arthritis or whatever. And
my question is, would he have been kicked out of the TARDIS? If he had done that.
Probably.
You think so?
Yeah. Personal benefit. Messing with time that big? No. You don't get to do that.
Yeah.
But he does get kicked out of the TARDIS. And this is after the Doctor and Rose play with the hole in his head
brain
for a while.
Brain hole.
Yeah, snapping their fingers.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And he begs Rose, please let me go, please. And they just leave.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't even say
goodbye.
She's
good at that.
Yeah, she's just like, eh.
I'm out. Peace. And his mom comes home.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, Adam, haven't seen you in so many months, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You didn't say you were coming home, blah, blah, blah. Like mom talk.
Mm-hmm.
Blames him for leaving the back door open, which they got there in the TARDIS.
See, now, I think that this does imply, though, that he called his own time,
because
they dropped him off at his own time.
Right.
Because she hasn't talked to him for months.
Right.
Nothing's really changed.
Right.
And they had to go back and destroy the
answering machine.
So.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a plot hole. But he becomes the only person to have been kicked out of the TARDIS for bad behavior.
Bad.
Yeah, nobody's
No
ever,
TARDIS for you.
I mean, there's been some people who've screwed up. I remember Turlough, for one, with the fifth Doctor, that I would have kicked out of the TARDIS. But he redeemed himself. This is the first time, I mean, and this is like, he got one ride in the TARDIS, and then, the next ride's home.
Yeah.
If you don't act right, I'm turning this TARDIS right around, taking you home.
Yeah.
And the Doctor did.
Yeah.
Because he's that kind of man.
Yeah. And I just think that Adam was greedy. He tried to get way too much information. If he had just
hung out with the Doctor, you'd accumulate that knowledge anyway.
Right. Like I said, he could have just got one little thing.
Yeah.
One little thing.
No, I got to get the brain hole.
And
the Doctor leaves him with a brain hole.
Yeah.
So now he's got to be quiet. He can't, you know.
He can't go to any, like, jazz concerts where they...
No, like he can't be, you know, tampering, or what little knowledge he might have of the future, he can't try to use that.
But see, he doesn't even remember any of it.
Well, he does remember a little bit. The stuff that he read off the computer screen. But now if he invents it, he's going to bring attention to himself. He can never be a public figure because one snapped finger, like his mom does, and faints because, hole in your head. Says, they'll chop you up. And you know how we are as the human race.
Something
scary, different like that.
What the hell? Lock it up!
Yeah, you're getting locked away and chopped up. So what'd you think of the episode?
I kind of like this one. I was disappointed in Adam because I thought it would have been kind of cool to have more than one companion.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this was kind of my first Doctor Who series, you know, I knew that there were multiple companions in the past. And, you know, it's typically just one, but I was kind of excited to have, like, a different dynamic in there. And And I kind of liked him as a character.
Okay.
And I liked the way that, you know, that he kind of fit in. But, so I was disappointed that he was gone. But I thought it was a pretty good episode. It probably wasn't, like, one of my favorites or anything, which is kind of how I feel about the entire first season in general.
Well, I enjoy a lot of the first season. I liked this one.
Yeah.
I did. Because there was some, you know, political stuff going
on.
It's like, I mean, you know, how are we manipulated as a people now with how we get our information?
Mm-hmm.
And we just accept things. We don't dig. We don't, well, what's the truth?
Right.
And so, this is going back to, like, you know, we compare things to Star Trek a lot. And a lot of their political episodes were, like, hidden under a layer of science fiction. And I think that's what this is a very political episode hidden under a layer of science fiction.
Which, and I think it's done well because I really personally cannot stand political preachiness or any kind of preachiness in my fiction.
And this didn't get preachy.
No, no, it doesn't. And
that's it. Just makes you think, though.
I don't think I've ever gotten that from Doctor Who. You know, even when they are trying to give you some sort of a message, I don't think I've ever gotten any kind of.
I think he just puts ideas out there, and then it makes you think about them, and you come to your own conclusions,
which is the way to do it. Not like
I'm black on the left half of my face, and he's black on the right half of his face, which is in your face with the whole message there.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a Star Trek reference, anyway.
Okay, I haven't seen that one apparently.
So good episode.
I think it's pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good.
All right, then. I guess that'll be it for the show this week. Want to take a minute to thank our good friend Daryl Lewis for making our awesome theme song.
You can find him at flyingmonkeymotogear.com.
Flyingmonkeymotogear.com.
I like how you always try to make me pronounce all the hard words. Like
I do.
Flying Monkey Motogear and Jaggerfest Maxford Denifrom or whatever Max. His name is.
I call him Max. He's my buddy. My buddy and me. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. And be sure to check us out online. You can go to our website, PlayingDoctorPodcast.com.
Facebook, Playing Doctor.
/Playing Doctor. On the Twitters.
The Twitters,
at Playing Doctors.
Yes, the maps and stuff.
You can get us on Google+. I did a short code for that.
But I think the short code is actually harder to remember than just go to Google Plus and type in Playing Doctor.
No, but if you go to gplus.to, so it's Google Plus, see gplus.to/Playing Doctor.
Or you could just go to Google Plus and type in Playing Doctor you can go in the search box.
PlayingDoctorPodcast.com and click the little Google Plus icon.
You can do that too.
We have all the little social medias. We can't get on MySpace. I tried to actually make an account.
You did?
Just for the joke. And their sign-up procedure is so asinine. Buttons failed. I think I actually had identity theft because of this. Because you put in so much stuff and it refuses to accept. Oh, well, what's your email address again? I just told you my email address. What name do you want? I just told you that. And so I just gave up on it.
Okay. I don't think anybody's going to look at it anyway.
So we're probably going to do a MySpace. I was just going to do it for the joke. But we don't have a MySpace.
Okay.
Yeah. But I am on the Twitter, at RealityAmok.
And I am on the Twitter at Jenny_Z.
Well, you remember where the underscore went this week. That's
good. I know where it is.
All right.
I'll show you where it is.
Okay.
Got an underscore for you right here, buddy.
Okay. Well, we'll see everybody next week, and hopefully we'll actually have a guest. Won't that be fun?
No, not next week.
Not next week either?
No.
Oh. Did the Jaggerfest eat them?
No. You're stuck with me again next week.
Okay.
We have scheduling problems.
I might get another co-host and record a show without you one
damn.
Week.
Oh, damn.
No, not tell you. I'll just record it and then, let you think, okay.
I have a guest
okay.
coming up for the Father's Day episode.
Okay. Well, I have a guest, too.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, two can play at that game.
I have two possible guests.
Ooh.
Yeah. And one of them's name rhymes with Bennis back in Nasian.
Hey, that's a shared guest.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Because I was talking to him first.
All right, the TARDIS is here. We need to go.
All right, bye.
Bye. Okay.